This episode has been brought to you by WilliamSylvanus.com.
Has life become an echo chamber? Are you tired of the noise? Does everybody seem to talk in sound bites? You can't get to real dialogue? Perhaps politics is getting you down. It's just too negative. Maybe it's in your business, at your job. People are just talking over each other. Or perhaps it's in your family and or other important relationships. Confronting how we label one another and how we deal with our brain's negative processes can free you from these situations, can help you move forward. I'd love to chat with you at 308-227-3221 or try one of my two programs regarding politics, 5-day Talk to Politics Without Anger or Free Challenge, or the Find Your Authentic Political Voice program. Check me out at WilliamSylvanus.com. That's WILLIAMSILVANEUS.com. You can take control.
Core Confidence Life.
All right, Aliyu, welcome to the Core Confidence Life Personal Development Podcast. I am your host, Dennis, broadcasting to you right here in New York City. Don't forget to follow us on all social media. That's right, YouTube, because we got videos and we'll be having more. Also on Facebook and Twitter. All that's the Core Confidence Life, right? And don't forget to go to our website to get past episodes, like the full catalog of this thing, you know, coreconfidencelife.com, and you just click on CCL podcast. We are coming at you from iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and Alexa and all these other places you can catch us. So catch us there. All right. On today's program, we are going to be talking to an international basketball coach. So all of you that are interested in basketball, you're just starting out, you want to know what it takes to make it in basketball, what kind of things you want, what coaches may be looking for, this show is for you. And what I like about sports is, you know, it's not just physical. You know, it's not just about running and catching and making it into baskets and alley-oop and all these things. There's also a mental endurance component. And so I, with Coach Scott Fields, will be talking about the physical and mental components to playing sports and succeeding. And you can apply these principles that we're going to be talking about to life in general. So whether you're into basketball, baseball, or just sitting around eating Doritos, right? We can all apply these things we're talking about to make our lives that much better, right? Now it's time, after a little promo, of course, to take the field. Having specific concrete skills to get a job done is great. Having the soft skills that you can take to any job is even better. And speaking and communication is at the top of that list. Move ahead quickly in your company and become a great entrepreneur just by opening your mouth. Core Confidence Life wants to help you reach that pinnacle. We are a talent development, promotion, and coaching service that will have you speaking confidently with power and persuasion. Whether it's running a meeting or winning clients, we'll take you from a quiet whisperer to a competent communicator. Just contact us, coreconfidencelife.com. That's www.coreconfidencelife.com. How you doing there, Scott?
Dennis, I'm great, buddy. I appreciate you having me on and looking forward to this time we're going to share together the conversation, and hopefully it's going to be empowering and inspiring to others out there listening.
All right. And all of the above.
There you go.
There you go. So you are a basketball coach. So tell us about that. What do you coach, pro, or are you coach high school, or what kind of a basketball coach are you? And tell us about that.
Well, I actually started off coaching at the college level here in the United States for 14 seasons, and many of those teams were nationally ranked, and that at a very young age, I actually started off as a head coach professionally over in Europe, and have done that for 15 plus seasons, and had accumulated a near 780 win percentage and won multiple championships, which that opened up doors and allowed me the opportunity to have a little sip of tea in the NBA, out here consulting with Coach Jerry Sloan, Hall of Famer in the NBA, that we just lost him about a month and a half ago. So may he rest in peace. And then also spending time with the Golden State Warriors for three summers, where I got to coach League MVP Steph Curry, and also a summer with the Sacramento Kings. So to say that I have been blessed and very lucky on my journey would be an understatement, but I would also be remiss to say that a lot of sacrifices and a lot of great journeys have come along the way with that.
Absolutely. Sounds very adventurous and exciting.
Well, you know, it really was, because, you know, I went overseas because I just wanted to get in and practice my own philosophies as a head coach, and did that at a young age, and was one of the youngest American basketball head coaches at that time at the professional level. So I spent time in Europe. So started off in Luxembourg, which led me to an opportunity in Sweden. And then I went from Sweden to Germany, actually Austria, and then to Germany. And then ended up being in the Middle East for a while, and had some great experiences in the Middle East and some unique encounters, which then led me to Latin America and then also Asia. So I've actually completely traveled the globe coaching and teaching the game that I love. My passport has more ink than a Sunday newspaper, a reference for the older crowd. But I've been very blessed.
Well, so throughout your travels in the world of basketball, doing everything, what was who was your favorite team to coach, pro or not? And what was your favorite experience?
Well, you know what? If you went by just beauty of the country, when I coached in Sweden, I felt like I was coaching in a national park. It was very beautiful. It was clean. It was pristine. Everybody was very active. Just a lot of fun. Now, as far as basketball and basketball level, I'll probably surprise you when I tell you that Beirut, Lebanon, was surprisingly just phenomenal. I grew up in the state of Indiana, where basketball is, you know, just a big time sport. So, you know, to go into a country where usually when you go to Europe, most sports, you know, basketball is not the top sport because soccer is, or football. And, you know, the team that I coached in Lebanon, was kind of unique. I took over a team mid-season, replaced a Serbian coach. That team was about in sixth place, and then we actually won the championship that year. But Dennis, the reason that was so fun, there was a big mix. So not only was it sport, we were playing the seven-time reigning champion. That team was backed, was Christian. The team that I was coaching was actually Muslim. The president of the country actually supported the Christian team, and the prime minister actually supported our Muslim-based team. So when you, you know, collide the worlds of sport, religion, and politics, let me tell you, it was very entertaining, and we were lucky to come out of there and upset the seven-time reigning champions, and to know that, you know, that's actually when the war in the Middle East broke out and a lot of people were coming to Lebanon for refuge. So just to experience the culture, the people, the fans, you know, our gym would actually seat about 6,000 people. It was first come, first serve. It was completely packed. And there's usually, while there were 6,000 people in the stands, there were 3,000 people outside the Coliseum, waiting and chanting, and it's just a great, great environment to coach and have success in. So that was unique. But then when you think about coaching in China, you know, a different form of government, you know, the multiple different religions that I've, you know, come accustomed to and have been around, the multiple languages that we learned. It was just so much personal and professional growth. So, again, I've just been so, so lucky.
Hmm. That sounds great, right? So, yeah, I can imagine there. So, now let's break it down to the actual game itself. So for you, is there a particular match, a particular game that really sticks out to you? And if so, how come? What was the plays like? What was the spirit like? Everything.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, we, like I'm saying, we were blessed that in 15 years to have a near 780 win percentage and to have won multiple championships. I think the games that stick with me the most are the ones that we just barely lost. You know, whether it came down to a last second play or to be beat on a last second, you know, desperation shot. Those are the ones that just take your heart because you put so much time and work and preparation and strategic, you know, managing the game and, you know, the adjustments that go on during the game, and to, you know, to lose a game like that, to have one just kind of slip through your fingers. It's heart-wrenching because, you know, that the guys and men put so much work into, you know, to the game, and then to, you know, have one just kind of slip through like that. It's those are the ones that you always remember.
Right. So now if somebody is just coming up through school and everything, and they want to get further into basketball, maybe they want to try out for their team in high school or college, or they have their eye on the pros. Like, what would you tell a young man just trying to get into this and who has that talent, but there's still a road ahead of them? What would you advise them to do from a coach's perspective?
Never give up and always believe in yourself. I think it's very important to, you know, have laser-like focused, know what your end goal is. Don't let other people set limitations for you. I think you have to be able to block out white noise because there'll be a lot of negativity. There'll be a lot of cynicism. There'll be a lot of pundits and experts that will break down your game and tell you what you can't do. And that's where you have to, kind of callous yourself to that negativity and cynicism. Know what your skill set is and be very driven and work very, very hard on your skills, but try to diversify your skills and bring versatility, you know, to your toolbox. So, you know, if you do something very, very well, stick to that and master that skill, but then also have counter moves, counter things that you can counter with those moves and skill sets, because as each level that you get better, people will try to attack you and take away your strengths and force you to your weaknesses. So when you can diversify and have a toolbox to, you know, fall back on and have counter moves to what teams try to take away from you, you know, you're still going to be able to have success and still be able to, you know, be a star in your role and help your team have success.
Success. There's the S word again, right?
You got, hey, well, and as a pro, that's what you're, you know, that's how everybody is going to base, you know, decisions. You know, you can be fired immediately if you're not performing, if you're not meeting expectations. So it does. It all comes down to success and how well you've helped your team have that success and, you know, give yourself increased marketability by not only having team success, but having individual, you know, success that, you know, there's assets that you're going to bring to a franchise or a club. And you have to focus on those things. And, you know, if something doesn't go your way, you have to persevere and cannot take those things personally. You just have to grow from every situation, learn from every situation, and, you know, just evolve daily.
So as a coach, when it's time to have new people come in, what do you look for in a prospect coming from a coach's perspective?
Well, of course, I'm going to see the talent, you know, and the talent has to be there. As coaches, you can't win the race without the horses. So they have to have talent. But the next thing that I look at right away is character. I want to make sure that they are a great person on and off the court. I want to make sure that they're selfless and they're going to put the team in ahead of their own personal goals, yet, you know, try to help them develop and enhance their personal goals and skill sets. But yet, I just want a guy that has heart, that has purpose, that has passion, and truly wants to be professional on and off the court and give back to the communities that, you know, support us in each of those ventures and stops that we made.
Yeah. So talk to us about more about teamwork. I think that's a very important thing you're talking about, putting the team before self. So let's talk a little bit about the value of teamwork and why that's so important.
Well, in the game like basketball, of course, you know, there's here in the States is probably where it's a little bit different than it is in other outside markets. Here, it's all about, you know, the next marketing deal, the next endorsement deal. Your agent, you know, is going to get a percentage of those things. But to truly have success in the game of basketball, if you can be selfless and put the team first and rise with the success with what you're bringing to your team and have that team success, your marketability is going to be so much more. You're going to have longevity in your career. The marketability can take you anywhere from, you know, a $60,000 job to a $600,000 job to a $6 million a year kind of job. And if you can have success and if success follows you and you bring a high level skill set to a franchise, that's when you're going to have longevity, as long as, you know, you take care of yourself, take care of your body. You know, your body is the asset, because if your body can't go, you know, you can't go and you can't perform. And, you know, then you have to fall back on that education. But it all comes down to what you can do and how you produce with that purpose and passion on the field. So to me, it's all about teamwork. And, you know, when I coached, I always put the player's success above mine. And then through that, the byproduct of that was winning because of the work ethic and the culture of family, the culture of, you know, just putting yourself in a position to always be successful. That was very, very big to me. And my first conversation with every player, Dennis, that I would have, you know, I would just say, hey, it's a pleasure to meet you. My name is Coach Scott Fields. Will you allow me to coach you? And that puts the accountability back on them when they say, yes, I will allow you to, you know, allow you to coach me. And I think that's where you have to have a foundation. You have to build trust. You have to build respect. You can't have fluff and tell people what they want to hear. You have to tell them what you expect from them, what you demand from them, hold them accountable on a daily basis, and challenge them to be better every day. And that's when you get them out of their comfort zone to truly reach the highest levels that and hopefully reach success that they didn't even imagine that they could have for themselves.
Hmm. You know, the term coach, you know, it's when people hear the word coach, they think of sports and things, and of course, understandable. I'm also a coach, although not of any sports team. But the primary feature of what a coach is helping someone get from where they are to where they want to be.
Starting preach, with brother. Yes, preach. Right. That's right.
We start from where you are, listen to where you want to be, and help you get there. And so I'm sure that you've encountered players that may have had a little bit of harder time than others. Now, I know that sometimes you said that somebody can get bounced without measuring up, if they don't measure up. But have you ever, when somebody actually has a problem on the team or with their performance, what do you do about that? Do you just bounce them, or do you actually kind of say, hey, do you need a little bit of extra work? What's the problem here? Like, do you coach them back into where they can perform with concentration?
For me, it was always about having open, honest dialogue, and not just communication, but effective communication. And you hit the nail right on the head where you got to meet them where they are. And for me, I wanted to inflict my will. I wanted to work extremely hard. I wasn't going to let any, you know, coach outwork me or out prepare me. And I wasn't going to let any coach out prepare our team. So for me, whatever I had to do and go that extra mile to help instill the confidence in a young man, to let them know what they could do, that's what I wanted to focus on. I'm not I was never negative. I was always about positive reinforcement. It was always about identifying and assessing what skill sets that they could bring. And then for me to put them in a situation through my philosophy with our style of play within our system to allow them to do what they did well. And if they had struggles, we would address those struggles. We would watch a lot of game film. I'm learning that this younger generation, they're very visual learners. So the more that we could use technology and videotape and break down analysis of whether it's mechanics or, footwork or, any little idiosyncrasies that we could do to help them gain an advantage and to allow them to gain the confidence, we were going to put the work in to make sure that they could gain that confidence. Because for me, I don't want someone to be paranoid while they're trying to perform. I wanted them to relax and, and let that muscle memory kick in, to allow them to play effectively and not be robotic and allow their skill sets to kind of flow. And for me, that was always a challenge. I enjoyed those challenges. I liked it. I saw it as a challenge if someone came to me that maybe was coming off of an injury or someone had a personal setback in some kind. And then I wanted to build that personal relationship to where they knew they could fall back and trust me to lead, guide, and direct them and empower them with the skills that they needed so that they could be successful. But it has to start with open and honest dialogue and always let them know where they stood, whether it was positive or negative, and say, hey, I need this from you. And I would give individual evaluations after every performance and let them know, hey, this is your strengths. This is what you did great. Continue to do that. Here's some deficiencies. Here's where we need to see a little bit of improvement. How can we help you and empower you to, work on those deficiencies so that way your skill set would be better to help maximize the positive outcome on the court?
That's great. So you got that support. So they know that you have their back as a coach. And so that builds more trust.
You've got to. And, and then now if, let's say management or if someone in ownership had a different vision of what you had to also openly and honestly tell that player what management was saying. And, sometimes you had to be a mediator and you had to be a go-between and say, hey, this is what I see with this young man. This is the vision that I have for this young man. We're working extremely hard and we're going to start seeing production this way. So, please allow me some time because I still feel he can be a valuable asset to our team. And again, the focus was always on team and not individuals. So, and even if worst case scenario, Dennis, if a young man was not able to perform or say that he was at the end of his career and his skill set had descended, I wanted to help transition and allow him to transform into a front office position or into a coaching position to where he wouldn't just be cut and would be kicked out of the club. I wanted to allow him a stepping stone so that way, hey, he still had something to look forward to. You never take a man's dignity. You never take a man's pride. You continue to groom and cultivate that, but that takes work and it takes effort. It takes commitment. And again, a lot of open, honest dialogue has to be there.
Yeah. And that must be a hard thing to hear, to have your coach sit down and go, well, you're really not performing well enough to be on the team, but I'd like to transition you somewhere else in this organization.
Yeah, because my question, if that was the case and if that's what management wanted to do and I could no longer, fight the battles for him to keep him, I wanted to know how I could help make that transition smoother and efficient for them so that way it would be easier for him and easier for his family, because if that's his source of income and that's how he provides for his family, let's not, take that away to where, you see body language and you can tell when someone is starting to struggle. And when that body language starts to show, it's just like the spoken language. And if I didn't address that and if I didn't see it and observe it every day, then I wasn't doing my job. So I was there to be an advocate, to be a coach, to be a leader, to be a mentor. I can't always say, I'm there if a friendship develops from that, that's wonderful. But I'm there in the best interest of winning, because if we're not winning, then I lose my job. So there's that fine line there. But I'm blessed that in all the years that we've maintained those relationships through social media around the globe, and we still have those friendships. And I think that's because we were open and honest and willing to do everything we could to put them in a situation to be successful.
Yes, indeed. So tell us all and the people listening, What does a man have to do to keep himself in shape for games? You have any suggestions for that? Like any routines, any ways a man can keep himself fit for the game?
Well, as a player and as a pro, you know, the body is his asset, and the better he takes care of his body with proper nutrition, with proper, rest, with, there's so many building blocks to that. I mean, they've got to take care of themselves. Now I'm there to help guide, lead, and push him and challenge him and keep him performing at a high level. And a lot of times it's all about mindset. So it's not so much about what the physical body could do, but it's okay in my mindset and in my mind's eye, how far can I push you, to keep you to perform at the highest level? Because these professional leagues are very, very high level, and it's very competitive. And if you're not, competing at your highest, there's somebody younger just waiting to take your position, and they know that. So for the most part, they take care of themselves physically. But sometimes it's massaging the ego, massaging the pride, instilling that confidence and letting them know that we still believe in them, and we know that the strengths that they bring to the team. And a lot of times it was more about mindset and mental preparation, which is more as much valuable as it is the physical conditioning.
So mental preparation, what does that involve? What does that mean, Mr. Coach? Mental preparation. Are you going to like hit me over the head with a bat? Like what is mental
preparation? No. Everybody has their own routines. Everybody has their own way to mentally prepare themselves for a game. Sometimes that's visualization. Sometimes that's just, meditation. Sometimes that's a spiritual connection. But once you find out what works best for that individual, you just allow that individual to prepare himself mentally. And then, if there's motivation or inspiration that needs to come from the coach, we're definitely going to make sure we do that and provide what that individual needed. Or if sometimes it's pushing buttons and really challenging the individual, it's all about getting the mind right. Because if the mind goes, the body will follow.
That's right. Absolutely. There's a mind, body, spirit connection going on right
there. Yes, sir. Yes, that's sir. Right.
Need all of those things. So you sound extremely happy and passionate about what you do. And that's great to hear that energy leaking from you.
Well, thank you.
Yes, absolutely leaking. But I'd like to know, where is this coming from? Like, who are you? What made you get to the point where you wanted to coach basketball? Why are you in this?
Great question, Dennis. I grew up in the state of Indiana. I was a Hall of Fame player in high school. I actually had 13 varsity letters. I was a quarterback of the football team all 4 years in high school, set school records in track, performed in the state track, played baseball. That game just felt a little too slow to me. My passion was always basketball. Of course, in being a Hall of Famer in Indiana at your high school, that took a lot of hard work. The game was actually taken away from me, Dennis, to accept my scholarship to go down to North Carolina. Their Board of Education required an oral polio vaccine that the State Board of Education didn't require. And at the age of 18, while I was down in North Carolina, my freshman year, I took that oral polio vaccine, and it actually caused my immune system to go awry. So the game was actually taken away from me because I went from being a Hall of Fame player to being bedridden for 9 months where I could not move one joint of my body, Dennis. My jaws were locked. I had it in my sternum. So every breath that I take, it would feel like a heart attack. My knees were swollen to the size of cantaloupes. My wrists were locked. My elbows were locked. My shoulders were locked. Hips very, very sore. I couldn't squeeze a tube of toothpaste. I couldn't dress myself. And I think going through those challenges and having the game taken away from me, I was blessed that, we had great insurance, and it challenged me because, we went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and that's where the world's best doctors were practicing. And, here I am, 18 years old, my mom and dad are sitting in the room with me. They put me through 3 days of testing, and the doctors looked right at my family and they said, Mr. Fields, you need to be prepared that, this disease is so active, you'll probably be in the wheelchair at the age of 25. And I remember looking over at my family and saying, they don't know me very well, do they? Because I was going to fight it. I was going to do whatever I could. Again, thankful that we had great insurance because we went through multiple surgeries. Went from taking 16 pills a day to try to find something that was going to control, never put the RA, which is rheumatoid arthritis, in remission, but at least have it controlled enough to where the disease would not debilitate me to where I couldn't physically function. I finished my undergraduate degree. I went back and worked with the coach that actually recruited me because he knew I had aspirations of wanting to be a coach. And I think for me, Dennis, it was, you know, being stubborn and hard-headed, but yet having focus and wanting to give back to the game that was so good to me. So I think that's where some of that drive, some of that passion, some of that purpose comes from, because the game was taken away from me as a player. But if I could effectively communicate and I can help others attain their goals personally and professionally, then that's very gratifying for me. And that's kind of the testament and story that I had to persevere through a lot of tragedy and trials and tribulations to help inspire others, to help them, you know, meet their goals.
So when you were going through the medical thing, like that, what you described sounds very traumatic. So, you know, so how did you, speaking of mental things, how did you get through that mentally? Now, you had good insurance, but what was your psychological insurance?
Okay, great question, because I'll be the first to tell you, I was very, very depressed. It was hard for me to try to accept and hard for me to listen to someone telling me that I would probably be in a wheelchair at the age of 25. So first of all, there was frustration and of course the physical pain. And then it was trying to relax my mind to not allow the physical pain to run my life. I wanted to be an RA survivor and not just an RA sufferer. So for me, it was about setting my mind, trying to It was about channeling the pain so that way I could at least physically function. I always had a very high pain tolerance because I can remember even like my senior year in football breaking my ankle. And of course, as I told you, I was the quarterback. They put my ankle in a cast. They put a staves on the side. They moved me to wide receiver and I played on a broken ankle and still had 2 touchdowns. So for me, it was about, okay, how do I block out the pain? It was about how can I take the tools that I have and use my mind and my vision, and how can I get that communicated and teach? Because to me, great coaches are great teachers and you have to be able to teach. So for me, how can I teach if I can't physically demonstrate what we need or what we expect, but how can I show them with the technologies that we have and with effective communication to help people, you know, be successful? So for me, yes, frustration, depression, panic, fear, those were all things. I was just very angry. I can remember, you know, sometimes my family, because again, I could not move, my family rolling me over in bed. And I can remember, you know, 4:30 in the morning one time being in so much pain, looking at my mom saying, I just want to die because the pain was so bad. And I think it took my mom leaving the hall, leaving my bedroom, hearing her cry to make me say, you know what? That's a selfish thing. I've got to be stronger. I've got to be tougher. I'm not going to let this disease, dictate my life and my lifestyle. I have to get mentally stronger to beat this. And I think it was that, you know, some moments like that, that was kind of like an awe moment or a euphoric moment saying, okay, I'm going to get mentally tougher. And then, okay, how can I teach that mental toughness, you know, to our players? And so if I could just lead by example, then I would do that. Cause I could also remember a time when I was in Lebanon coaching that I actually had an ACL tear and they, reconstructed the ACL. They told me I'd have to miss the game. They told me I'd have to leave the hospital in a wheelchair. And I remember the doctors tell me I'd be in a wheelchair at the age of 25. So I threw my crutches down. I had a huge splint from my ankle to my hip. I had my leg out straight and I hopped on one leg for the entire game. We won that game, which put us into the Final Four. And I can remember being so physically exhausted after that game. It was just like such a relief. That's like, oh my gosh, we won. Now I can relax. And I remember just sweating so profusely from the pain, but we won. And again, it was just all about trying to lead by example and trying to be the best leader and role model that I could for my team.
That was very inspiring to see that.
It wasn't easy. I was in pain. I can remember when I first stood up from the bed from the surgery and when the blood rushed to the knee because there were some screws. And of course, you know, they took some of my hamstring tendons and that's what was, you know, that's how they made the ACL. So, but again, I just remember being traumatized by the doctor when I was diagnosed that they said I'd be in a wheelchair. And I was like, I'm not going to be in a wheelchair. And I wasn't going to let somebody tell me I was going to be in a wheelchair. So I was like, you know what? I am. I'm just going to go coach. I'm going to go lead this team. You know, we need to have a victory. Of course, I'm not going to lie. There was financial considerations and bonuses for winning games. So, you know, that was also a reason I wanted to be there. But I just wanted to be there for my team and not sit in some wheelchair, you know, clapping from the side. I just wanted to be there with them, support them, and let them know that, hey, we're there for you.
Absolutely. So are there any kind of sustained philosophy or belief systems that you have that keep you going? Any kind of like personal, you know, personal philosophy, the things that you think about or remember or you stick to that keeps you moving through life every day?
You know what? I just want to have a service heart. I want to have service leadership. I want to be able to help others. And if there's just nothing more gratifying, Dennis, than helping others and, you know, and assisting others or being a support system for others. And, you know, when I can do that on a daily basis, that's where I get the most gratification. So it's not always about money. It's not always about fame. It's not always about, you know, things that come along with it, but it's just knowing that you are a part of somebody else's journey and help them to get where they wanted to go. And I think that's kind of what, you know, drives me and pushes me, because I can remember when they told me I would be in a wheelchair at the age of 25 and I refused to do that. I'm now, you know, 52 years old, and by the grace of God and, you know, stubbornness and great, you know, therapies with medications and surgeries and physical therapies, you know, we've kept that at bay, and, you know, that's kind of my testimony. So it's just like, you know, how can I service and, you know, help others?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you also have a podcast. Hey, you're on a podcast and you have one too. What's the deal with that, buddy? tell us about your podcast.
Well, you know, Dennis, I appreciate that. You know, I do. I host the Coach Scott Field Show. We stream it live on Facebook. And because of the relationships that I've, you know, occurred and have maintained and have cultivated, you know, throughout the years, I'm blessed that a lot of, you know, great people in the industry, you know, will come onto our show. They will share their stories, share their journeys, share wisdom and insights. And hopefully, you know, with that space that we're in, with this platform that we have, we hope that we can inspire and empower others on their journeys, no matter what walk of life that they're in. We hope that, you know, it reaches everybody. And, you know, with this COVID that came out, like everybody else, we had to adapt. So I just upped the frequency of our shows and of our streams. And it was very well received. So for us to say that, you know, we're digitally, you know, we've had a great backing and gaining a lot of followers. It's actually on Facebook. So it's just facebook.com/coachsf. And we just now kind of started working on our YouTube channel, which again is just, you know, the Coach Scott Field Show. We're slowly picking up a little bit of stuff there because we are going to start upping our content. But just been blessed to, you know, use this space, use this platform, allow people to share their stories. And we just hope that it's, you know, that it is touching and inspiring others. So just like you with what you're doing, we're just trying to be like Coach Dennis, my man.
Well, I tell you, you definitely have to build up that core confidence to keep things going. So, and it sounds like you have that, you have that core confidence inside you. So
But I'll tell you what, it's listening and learning to people like you who do what you do and face the adversities that you face that inspire us daily. So I thank you for all that you do, my man. Because to me, you know, I'm going to plug this hard. We're going to have you come be a guest on my show. We're going to let you share your story. And my man, you are a special gifted young man. And I think it's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you for calling me young. No, thank you. I'm young again. Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. That's what's up. So how often does your show stream/appear/come on?
Well, you know, it's before we would do it once a week. And then with COVID-19, we really upped our frequency. We would do it Monday through Thursday and then sometimes Fridays and Saturdays. So all pending on what's going on. And because I really feel like sports is so woven into the fabric of our culture that sports and sports entertainment is like a distraction and a respite, you know, usually when there's a lot of tragedies going on. And of course, you know, speaking of tragedies, I mean, here we are living through a pandemic worldwide. Here we are going through social injustices. Here we are, you know, with the multiple challenges that our country faces today. And if our show, you know, gives a little bit of distraction and can provide tools for their toolkits, that's what our show is all about. So right now, you know, we try to do it at least four times a week, sometimes a little bit more, but you know, a lot of times they vary. And then just like right now, being able to cross promote on your show, it keeps us busy and active, because I also you know, work here in the state of Utah full time for the benefits and for a steady income coming in. And I actually work with people with disabilities here in the state of Utah.
Ah, okay. You're in Utah now. Cool. All right. So in closing, if a young man is listening to this, what's one thing they can do right now to better their chances of making it to that team, to better their chances of harnessing that discipline or that willpower or that core confidence, something to push them to that next level in one tip?
Make a decision and commit to it. You know, if you commit to yourself, commit to your journey, commit to what you say you want to do, don't let people, you know, put a ceiling on you. Don't let people, you know, set limitations for you. I was told I was going to be in a wheelchair at the age 25. Yeah, you know, that was, you know, the world's best doctors. And so, you know, for me to sit there and be like, okay, I hear what you say. I hear your prognosis. I hear what you say the probabilities are, but I'm going to make that decision for myself. I'm going to fight this. And again, I think it's all about commitment to yourself, commitment to your craft, commitment to your dedication, and commitment to your goals that you set for yourself, and stick to that commitment. Don't let naysayers distract you. Don't let friends distract you. Have that laser-like focus that we talked about, and just stay committed to what you want, and don't let anyone, you know, tell you can't do it.
Stay committed. That's right. Stay committed. Stick to itiveness.
There you go, my man. You got it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the program, Mr. Coach Scott Fields. Definitely enjoyed your knowledge and your experience and your globe-trottedness. And thanks.
If you'd like to be a guest on the Core Confidence Life podcast, just fill out our application by going to coreconfidencelife.com/guest. That's coreconfidencelife.com/guest. We appreciate you and all your feedback. So to give us comments about the podcast or anything else, just send a message to Dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. That's Dennis@coreconfidencelife.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and all the social media outlets, of course, at Core Confidence Life. I'm your host, Dennis, from New York City, giving you higher consciousness, lower stress, hard-hitting manhood issues, which is the side of cornball humor.